Ethan was the kind of guy you didn't notice, which is a damn shame because he was brilliant. He blended into the background, whether at school or at home. Our classmates barely knew he existed, and his parents weren't much better, treating him like a ghost. But I knew Ethan. I was his only friend, the only one who saw the depth of his pain and the sharp edge of his intelligence. That night of the senior ball, everything changed. Ethan had gathered enough courage to ask Sarah to be his date. She was pretty. The two had been to the same classes since ages, and he had a massive crush on her. It was a bold move, out of character, but he was desperate to break free from his isolation. She laughed in his face. The rejection was public, brutal, and devastating. I tried to comfort him, but Ethan had already begun to retreat into a dark place. He was caught staring at her on multiple occasions by teachers. He started muttering to himself one day while in class and didn't realize until the students told him. His mother complained once that he would keep talking with a childhood clown toy for hours. His father was typically out hunting with his buddies to even care. I should have seen the signs, should have done something, but I didn't. On the night of the ball, Ethan wasn't there when I arrived. I figured he was too embarrassed to show up after what happened with Sarah. The gym was decked out with streamers and balloons, the usual cheap decorations for a high school dance. Kids were dancing, laughing, and I tried to impress my date Jenna with my dry humor, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very wrong. It was about an hour into the ball when the lockdown alarm blared. The lights flickered, plunging us into semi-darkness. Panic spread through the crowd, cries of confusion growing louder. I had a sinking feeling in my gut. Ethan. The gym doors burst open, and there he stood, a twisted figure in the doorway, wearing a clown's mask. He held two of his father's hunting rifles. He walked in with a deliberate calm, a man on a mission.
Ethan, don't. They will see me now. They will all remember my name.
Screams erupted as he fired the first shot, hitting a kid named Mike square in the chest. Blood sprayed across the dance floor and chaos ensued. The crowd scrambled, ducking under tables, pushing each other in a desperate attempt to escape. But there was no way out. Ethan had locked the doors. I was frozen, watching as my friend turned into a monster. He moved methodically, shooting indiscriminately. I saw him shoot Rachel, the cheerleader who had mocked his weight the previous year. Her lifeless body crumpled to the floor. He turned and fired at Mr. Thompson, our math teacher, who tried to shield a group of students. The bullet tore through his shoulder, and he went down with a scream.
Ethan, stop! This isn't you!
My voice was lost in the chaos. Ethan didn't hear me, or he didn't care. He kept talking to the voices only he could hear, justifying his actions, condemning those who had wronged him. I saw Sarah huddled under a table, sobbing, and I knew he wouldn't stop till he had her. I pushed through the panicked crowd, trying to reach him. The closer I got, the clearer I could see the madness in his eyes. He wasn't the Ethan I knew. This was someone else entirely. Whatever demons he had in his head, they had conquered him. I just wish someone would have called 911.
Ethan, it's me, Jeremy. You don't have to do this. Let them go.
He turned to me for a moment. I saw recognition in his eyes, but it was quickly replaced by the same cold rage. He raised his gun, and I felt a sharp burning pain in my side as the bullet tore through me. I fell to the ground, clutching my wound. The world spinning around me.
You'll all remember me now.
He continued his rampage. The gym was filled with screams, gunfire, and sobbing. Bodies lay scattered, blood pooling on the polished floor. The horror seemed endless, but eventually the police stormed in, ending the nightmare. They brought him down in a single clean shot. As I lay there, bleeding and helpless, watching as they dragged Ethan's body away, the gym looked like a slaughterhouse. 13 died and 26 were injured. I survived, but I'll never forget that look in Ethan's eyes, the screams of my classmates. I didn't see it coming. No one did. One moment we were cheering for our kids on the field, and the next we were plunged into a nightmare. I was on the sidelines, my second year as the coach of the Sherwood Covent soccer team. The sun was high and the heat was making the day drag. Parents chatted, laughed, and shouted encouragement. It was just another Saturday at the soccer field. My team was gearing up for the big tournament and I had to finalize the roster. Not everyone could make the starting 11. That was my job, to pick the best. Donald stood out in the crowd, tall, broad-shouldered, with a perpetual scowl etched into his face. He had played some soccer himself during his time, from what I had heard. Everyone knew him as the dad with temper. His son, Billy, was good, but not quite there yet. I knew this would be a tough conversation. So when I picked the lineup and kept his son in the subs, Donald stormed over.
"What the hell, coach? Why isn't Billy on the starting team?"
"He's a good player, Donald, but he's not ready yet. We've got some tough competition." He didn't take it well. His face turned a shade of red I'd never seen before. He started shouting, hurling abuses at me.
"You think you know everything, don't you? My boy's better than half of those kids out there."
The other parents backed me up. They tried to calm him down, told him it was just a game. But Donald wasn't listening. His rage was palpable, and I could see it in his eyes. Something was off. Finally, he spat at my feet, grabbed Billy, and stormed off. I thought that was the end of it. I was wrong. Horribly wrong. Minutes passed, then maybe half an hour. I heard a scream from the parking lot. I turned just in time to see Donald marching back towards us. But this time, he wasn't empty-handed. He was carrying a semi-automatic rifle, eyes wild, face contorted with fury.
"This is for my son. You think you can humiliate him? Humiliate me?"
Panic erupted. Parents scattered. Kids screamed. I froze. He opened fire and the world exploded around me. I felt a searing pain in my leg and crumpled to the ground. Blood soaked through my pants and I could barely think through the agony. I crawled towards the nearest cover, dragging my useless leg behind me. Around me, the scene was chaos. People running, bodies falling, screams of terror. Donald kept firing everywhere. I reached a concession stand and huddled behind it, gasping for breath. My vision blurred, but I had to keep my head. I had to survive. I peered around the corner, trying to get a sense of where he was. He was close. Too close.
"They snatched my dream, not my son!"
His voice was a mix of rage and madness. He picked out one of the parents who had spoken up in my support earlier. Pointing the gun at him, he made him sit on his knees in submission. The poor man was crying his eyes out, trying to bring up words to reason with Donald. But Donald paid no heed. He pulled the trigger, and a single bullet went through the man's head, his body swaying slightly and crumbling to the ground. He spotted me and started towards me. I could hear the crunch of his boots on the gravel, the heavy breaths of a man on a mission.
"Donald, stop. This isn't gonna solve anything. Think about Billy."
I was desperate, trying to reach any part of him that was still sane, but he wasn't hearing me. He raised the rifle. I closed my eyes, bracing for the end. A gunshot rang out, but it wasn't from Donald. A police officer had arrived, aiming his weapon at Donald. The bullet hit Donald in the shoulder, spinning him around. He dropped his rifle, falling to his knees.
You ruined everything.
He collapsed, the fight draining out of him. The police swarmed in, disarming him and securing the area. I lay there, pain throbbing through my body, relief washing over me. Paramedics rushed over, tending to the wounded. I was loaded onto a stretcher, the world spinning around me, faces blurred and voices muffled. The last thing I saw before passing out was Billy, standing alone in the chaos, tears streaming down his face. The horror of that day was etched into my soul. I had faced death and emerged alive, but I knew that I would be scarred for life. I never believed in ghosts, even though I taught at St. Mary's Covenant School, right next to an old graveyard. Local lore said the nuns roamed in the grounds after sunset. Supposedly, these spirits belonged to sisters who had tragically perished in a fire decades ago. They said if you stayed late, you'd hear the prayers mixed with cries for help. Despite the chilling tales, I never experienced anything myself. Until that fateful day. It was a Friday afternoon when the principal announced a lockdown. Apparently, a mass murderer had escaped from a nearby psychiatric facility and was reportedly on the loose. The authorities advised everyone to stay inside, and so we were trapped in the school until further notice. The school usually emptied out before sunset, but that day I found myself in the eeriest of predicaments, locked in with a handful of students in a graveyard just outside our windows. The sky darkened rapidly, and the hallways felt increasingly oppressive. The students, ranging from nervous to outright terrified, huddled in the assembly hall. I tried to keep them calm, but I could feel the chill. The principal asked few teachers to take a round and find if any kids were still left in their classrooms. I volunteered and grabbed a flashlight from the supply closet. The power was still on, but the long corridors seemed unnaturally dark. My footsteps echoed as I made my way through the silent halls. Classroom by classroom, I checked. Empty desks, silent chalkboards, nothing unusual. Until I reached room 212. The door creaked open, and I was hit by a sudden, inexplicable cold. My breath fogged in front of me. The room was dark, save for the thin beam of my flashlight. As I scanned the room, the beam caught something reflective on the floor. I moved closer and gasped. It was a tiny, silver cross necklace, lying in a pool of dark liquid. Blood. My heart pounded. I turned to leave, but the door slammed shut. The temperature plummeted, and I heard a faint whispering, words I couldn't understand. I yanked at the door, but it wouldn't budge. Panic surged through me. No response. Everyone was away. The whispers grew louder, now mixed with the soft sound of footsteps. I spun around. In the dim light, I saw them. Shadows moving across the walls. Three figures in nuns' attires, their faces dark like rotten skin, gliding towards me. Their whispers grew stronger and distorted. I backed against the door, desperately pulling at the handle. The figures grew closer, their prayers louder. One reached out to me, and I suddenly felt an icy grip around my wrist. I screamed and yanked my arm free, but the force sent me falling to the ground. My head struck the edge of a desk, and pain exploded through my skull. Darkness edged my vision, but I fought to stay conscious. The whispers grew deafening, and the figure stood over me. One of them bent down, and it looked into my eyes, letting out its disoriented whisper. It raised its dark, rotten hand towards me, but suddenly stopped as it spotted the cross around my neck. That was the window I needed. With a burst of adrenaline, I crawled towards the door. My hand found the handle again, and this time it turned. I ran into the hallway, slamming the door behind me. The whispers ceased, but the cold lingered. I stumbled back to the assembly hall, clutching my bleeding head. Miss Jenkins, who taught languages, looked up, her eyes wide with fear.
Caroline, what happened? We need to get out, now!
That is when the lights in the hall started flickering. The wind, which was blowing, suddenly ceased. And then, suddenly, the children at the back started screaming. Everyone saw a dark figure in nun's clothes, standing there for just a few seconds, before it suddenly glided to the other side and disappeared towards the back door. There was chaos everywhere. We gathered the children and huddled together, moving as one toward the main entrance. The lockdown was still in effect, but staying inside felt more dangerous. As we reached the main door, we found a police car outside, and a policeman walked up to us.
Everyone stay calm, we're here to evacuate you.
They informed us that the escaped murderer had been caught very close to the school, but everyone was safe. Relief washed over us. We filed out, the cold night air biting, but welcome. I glanced back at the school, its dark windows like eyes watching us leave. The local lores no longer seemed like mere stories. I left St. Mary's Covent School shortly after that night.